When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at the sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They are filled with new wine." So far, God's word, and as we consider this word, let's ask him for a blessing on it. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we pray now for the work of your Holy Spirit in our lives. We pray that your Holy Spirit would take your word to us and press it against our hearts. Lord, we've just sung these words, "Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly thine, till all this earthly part of me glows with thy fire divine." Lord, we pray that you would make the fire in it within our hearts, the fire that is fed by your Holy Spirit. Make that fire glow this morning, we pray. Encourage us. Give us enthusiasm for the gospel that is from Jesus Christ, that we may go and proclaim that message. Because the call to us, Heavenly Father, is just the same as it was to the apostles. Go and preach. Go and proclaim the gospel. Open our hearts to hear that call this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, my main sport when I was at high school was running, particularly cross country. I wasn't that fantastic at it, but I was okay. And there used to be this whole ritual that we'd have as we would come to a race. We would warm up, we would do some stretches, we would listen to all the safety instructions, and then we were ready to go. But did we just go and run, boys and girls? We'd heard the instructions, we're all standing there at the starting line, and we just decide, well, we're going to go for a run? It doesn't work, does it? No, we were sitting there waiting. What were we waiting for? What do you need to have before you can start a running race? Can someone tell me, boys and girls, what do you need to have? Yeah, there's always one remark, isn't there? What do you need to have, boys and girls? You need to be told to do what? To start. You need to be told to go, don't you? And until you get told to go, you're standing there waiting. You're waiting for something to happen. And that's what the apostles were doing. They had been given the command to wait. In Matthew 28, they're given the Great Commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have taught you. But in Acts chapter 1, Jesus puts the brakes on things just a little while. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me." And then in verse 8 he says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." They were there waiting. What did they do while they were waiting? Well, Acts chapter 1 tells us in verse 14 and 15. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. We're told in verse 15 that there was a group of them of about 120 people. The same group that was waiting in Acts chapter 2. What were they waiting for? God's promised Holy Spirit. What was going to happen? Well, that's what we're going to explore this morning. And this morning we're going to see that because of Pentecost, God is bringing the gospel to the world. That's our main idea this morning. Because of Pentecost, God is bringing the gospel to the whole world. And the first thing that we're going to see is that God acts at Pentecost. That's our first point. The apostles were waiting, but finally the day came. 50 days it was after the Passover. It was the Feast of Weeks that happened after the Passover. 7 weeks plus one day. So on the Sunday, they were waiting. God chose Sunday to act on his promise, to pour out the Holy Spirit. In verse 2 of Acts chapter 2, we read that suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. I think in the NIV it speaks about a great noise. That's the idea here. You know, boys and girls, sometimes you hear a burglar alarm go off. And it's really loud and noisy, isn't it? And what do? You go out and look. You go and see whose house is it? Where is the noise coming from? Well, sometimes when someone's cell phone goes off in church, everyone looks too and sees, where's that coming from? Where's that noise coming from? And that's what happened in Jerusalem. The people came to see what was happening, to see where the noise had come from, and we're told where the noise came from. And suddenly, verse 2, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the house. This was something that came from heaven. Verse 3, we learn that divided tongues as of fire appeared on those who were there. Each one of them, our passage says. Now, we don't know exactly what that looked like, but we take the text at face value. It seems that it looked like there were little flames on the heads of every one of those 120 people who were there. And that's significant in itself. It wasn't just the apostles that had the flame on top of their head. No, it was everyone who was part of this company. Who was part of that company? Verse 14 of Acts chapter 1. The woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers, the apostles, a company of people about 120. And that is significant. Every single person there in that room received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came equally to all. Here is the promise fulfilled of John the Baptist in Luke 3 verse 16. That the Holy Spirit would come and baptize, that Jesus would come and baptize with fire and the Holy Spirit. And we see that carried through into Acts chapter 2 verse 38b. The second half of Acts chapter 2. Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." If you repent, if you believe, you will receive the Holy Spirit. So there's no second blessing of the Holy Spirit here. It's not just given to some. It's significant that all receive the Holy Spirit. Every single person who believes. God here, in this one-off act of Pentecost, is showing that the Holy Spirit is given to all. He is setting everything in place for the gospel to go out to the nations. The work of Christ to be continued. In my Bible, it says the Acts of the Apostles. But really, the book of Acts is the Acts of Jesus Christ continued through the apostles by the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit were witnesses to that. As they continued the promise, the challenge given them of the Great Commission from Jesus Christ. So what's the significance for us? Well, every single one of us who believe in Jesus Christ have received the Holy Spirit. And here's where we differ from some of our Pentecostal friends who say you need to wait till you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, till you can go out and really be used by God. But passages here, such as Acts chapter 2, teach us that every single one of us receive that Holy Spirit. There's no need to wait. We don't need to wait before we can go out and serve. No, we don't need to look back, but look forward as to how God is calling us to serve Him. We have the power of the Holy Spirit within us, each and every one of us. We don't need a second blessing because we have everything that we need. To want a second blessing of the Holy Spirit is like to have a manual car that has 5 gears. Boys and girls, some cars do have a gear stick that you have to use. I'm not sure there aren't that many of them around nowadays. But imagine sitting there in this 5-speed car and only using gears 1 and 2 and saying, man, I wish I had a car that had another 3 gears. Just because you're not using those other 3 gears, it doesn't mean you don't have them. We all have the power of the Holy Spirit within us. I think the problem for us more is that we're only using gears 1 and 2 rather than 3, 4, and 5. Because the Holy Spirit's power is the same power that raised Jesus Christ, and that is within each and every one of us. And that's why we sing these songs that we do. Fill me, Holy Spirit. Breathe on me, breath of God, so that we will further use the power of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will strengthen us and equip us further for the use in His kingdom. So that He works in us, brothers and sisters, in ordinary ways. We have that power within us. Are we using it? Should not our prayer be, use us, fill us, fan into flame that fire that we have within us? God acted at Point Pentecost. He gave His Spirit to all. He gives His Spirit to us, to each and every one of us who believe. But God was also working here further. Pentecost wasn't just a flash stage show. It was God acting, signaling. It was God coming with a purpose. And that brings us to our second point this morning. God speaks at Pentecost. God acts here. He also speaks. Again, verse 4 of chapter 2, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And what happened? He began to give them other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What did these tongues look like? Well, we are told about what happens in verses 5 and following. There were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Jews had come, and remember, it was a festival going on. It was a celebration of the end of the festival. So lots of people had come from out in the wide world, had come to Jerusalem to celebrate. A perfect time for the gospel to be spread. Verse 9 and 10 tells us that it wasn't just Jews from the nation of Israel that were there. There were Jews from other areas. Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia. There were people from the east. Judea, which is where the nation of Israel was. But also people from the north, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia. And then down the south, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and also the northeast, Rome. Do you see what's happening here? People from all nations, from all surrounding the nation of Israel, are all in one place. Here's a fulfillment already of God's promise and challenge in Acts 1 verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Well, the ends of the earth were gathered there in Jerusalem. And they heard the message that was being spoken. And the miracle here was that they were speaking it in their own tongue. They heard it speak in their own tongue. Now, my Dutch isn't much, but I can get by. I can make myself understood in some way. But there's no way that I could speak Chinese or Japanese or Italian. But here, these people from all around the world were hearing people speak in their own language perfectly. That's the idea here of the passage. Not just me speaking with an English, speaking Dutch with an English accent. No, they were hearing crystal clear in their own languages. That's the idea of tongues. But what were they hearing? That really is the significance. And that's what we find there in verse 11. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And that's the important thing of the text here. They are hearing the message of the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ. Here God is showing his hand. He's showing his purpose. The gospel is going out to the entire world. Not just Israel alone. Here we have, and we touched on that when we looked at Genesis chapter 11, here we have the reversal of what happened at the Tower of Babel. The gospel cutting through cultures. The gospel cutting through nations. God speaking to all nations. A call for us today as we continue this challenge of Matthew chapter 28 of the Great Commission. Of the challenge that Jesus gave to the apostles that he gives to us as well. To go and be witnesses. Not just in Jerusalem, not just in Judea and Samaria, but to the ends of the earth. But you know the wonderful thing, brothers and sisters? We don't need to go to the ends of the earth. No, we can stay just here. A number of years ago, I was with a friend at a playground with our kids. This happened to be in the States, but there we were at this playground, and we looked around. And there was myself, a Kiwi, and my friend, an American. And there were some, obviously, Egyptian people there. There were some people from all sorts of other countries. And what was noticeable, that everyone was standing in their own little groups. All around this playground, all the adults were standing. The Egyptians were talking to the Egyptians. The Arabians were talking to the Arabians, and so on. But then we looked. What do you think was happening on the playground itself? Here you had kids from all different walks of life, all different colours, all different dialects. Sometimes some of them even spoke in different tongues. But here they were all playing together. And that struck me. That struck me as a lesson for me. As my children reminded and taught me of what we are called to do in the gospel. To cut through cultures. To not just stick to ourselves, but go out and proclaim to people from all walks of life, from all different backgrounds. Are we doing that? Are we doing that as a church? Are you doing that as an individual? We don't need to go out to the ends of the earth. We have a multicultural society right here in Rangiora or wherever you live. And we can do that. We can go out across cultures because of the Holy Spirit working in us. God acted at Pentecost. He spoke at Pentecost, but it remains for us to see the people's response to what happened at Pentecost. A challenge to us as a church, but also to us as individuals. And that's our third point and final point this morning. The response to Pentecost. Everyone had come to see what was going on, to see what this noise was about. They're all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean? What's going on?" But there's also a bad response, and we're going to look at that first. Verse 13, others mocking said, "They are filled with new wine." They were made fun of. People didn't understand, and so they made fun of what was going on here. We see that often, don't we? Christians being made fun of. And Paul explains that we shouldn't be surprised about that, because the wisdom of God is foolishness to man. People saw it, they made fun of it, they rejected it, just as it happens today. But there's also the good response, the amazed and the astonished response. People saying, I want to know more. And for those that stuck around, Peter told them more. We're not going to read it now. You can read that later on yourself. But Peter gives a sermon from verses 14 through to the end of the chapter. He explains what's going on. Here's Peter giving his first sermon ever, before 3,000 people. What a way to begin preaching, eh? 3,000 people on your first time. But Peter had the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. And what does he do? He basically explains the gospel of Jesus Christ. He explains that this is the fulfillment of Joel chapter 2, of the Holy Spirit being poured out, not only just on men, but also women alike. He speaks and he refers to from the Psalms, speaking about that this was going to happen as well. Verse 25 and following, I saw the Lord before me, because he is at my right hand, I may not be shaken. And he's saying all of this is significant because it points to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And in verse 36, he brings home the application of the sermon, Acts 2, verse 36. And how's this for an application point? You killed him. You crucified him. That was Peter's main point, verse 36. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. And the crowd, their hearts are troubled. They were cut to the heart, we read in verse 37. And Peter said to and the rest of the, and they asked them, what shall we do? All this because of the challenge of Peter as he's told them the gospel. You crucified him, Peter says. And brothers and sisters, that claim can be made to us too. You crucified Jesus Christ. Now, none of us were there, of course. None of us cried out in the crowd, crucify him, crucify him. No one stood, none of us stood and watched him being crucified. But if you believe in Jesus Christ, your sins put him there on that cross. It was your sins he paid for on that cross. We too are guilty. So the challenge to us is, what is our response? If you're not in Jesus Christ, you reject Jesus Christ, then you remain guilty. And while Jesus died on the cross to pay for sins, if you do not believe in him, then he did not die to pay for your sins. And then you are left alone. Alone to face the wrath, the anger of God against your sin. The response that this passage this morning then calls you to do is the call that Peter gives here. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Turn to him. Acknowledge your sins, because that's what Pentecost calls you to do. And if you're in Jesus Christ, then be assured this morning. Be encouraged, brother and sister. Because the power working in you this morning is the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. The work of the Holy Spirit that brings you into unity with Jesus Christ, who makes you spiritually one with Him. The work of the Holy Spirit that means that you too will one day be in heaven with Jesus Christ. The work of the Holy Spirit that is sanctifying you, which means making you, changing you more and more like Jesus Christ. The work of the Holy Spirit in you as a comforter. The work of the Holy Spirit that helps you to understand the words of Scripture. The work of the Holy Spirit that helps you to fight sin. The work of the Holy Spirit that when you don't know what to pray, when you find it difficult to pray, when you find it difficult to get the words out, Romans 8 says, the Holy Spirit is praying for you. So be encouraged, brother and sister. That power is at work within you. And your response to this Pentecost this morning is to give thanks and pray, fan that flame more, Jesus Christ. Work in me more, Holy Spirit, that I may be further equipped to serve you. Pentecost itself was a one-off act, part of the Trinity's master plan for the world. God acted. He poured out His Holy Spirit and He spoke through Peter, so that the gospel would be proclaimed, the message of hope of Jesus Christ. What's your response this morning? Not for me. Reject it. Ignore it. Make fun of it. Then the call to you this morning is to turn away from your sins and repent. Turn to Jesus Christ. If you're in Jesus Christ, be reminded this morning of the mighty works of God that He has done throughout all history, but also the mighty works that He is doing and will be doing through you. Then your response this morning is to pray, use me. Use me for your kingdom. Give thanks for the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Pray that the Holy Spirit will work more in your life, that you may become more like Jesus Christ, that you may learn more about Jesus Christ from His Word. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit doesn't stand there and say, look at me. No, He says, look at Jesus Christ. So this morning, brothers and sisters, look to Him. Be reminded of Jesus' work. Give thanks. He poured out the Holy Spirit to you so that you may become more like your Savior, Jesus Christ, and that you may go and proclaim and tell others about the wonderful work of Christ in you. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for the work of Your Holy Spirit. We thank You that it is true for every single one of us here who believes in You. We pray that that may remain, that may be true for every single one of us here. Lord, we pray for anyone here. We pray for those who we know near to us, who have not bowed their knee before You. We pray that the Holy Spirit may already be working in their hearts, stirring their hearts, making them feel uncomfortable, unhappy, unsettled with where they are in life. Turn them to You, we pray. We thank You for what happened at Pentecost, and we thank You that the reality of the Holy Spirit given to all who believe in Him, who believe in You, it remains true today. Lord, we thank You for that wonderful power that is at work within us. Lord, may we pray that Your Spirit would work within us even more. Encourage us, inspire us, make our hearts on fire for You. Make us more like Jesus Christ, we pray, that we may do also the work of the Holy Spirit in showing other people and saying to other people, look at Jesus Christ. Find out about Him. Can I tell you about what Jesus Christ has done for me and what He will do for you if you believe in Him? Lord, we pray as we look around in our church. We pray that you give us opportunity also to talk, minister to people from different cultures. Help us, Lord, to reach out to our communities, not just to people that we're comfortable with, but to every single person who we come in contact with, whatever that looks like. Because the gospel doesn't choose nation, the gospel doesn't choose race, but it cuts through all of this. May our lives, and indeed may our church fellowship, reflect that as well. Use us, we pray, through your Holy Spirit, to bring the gospel to the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.